Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch and joining me to unpack your stock-related questions this evening are Derek Jansen van Rensburg from Anchor and Nick Krell from FNB Wealth and Investments. Should you have any questions, please be sure to send those questions via SMS to 41392. Email us at stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Thanks so much for your time, gentlemen. Of course, the big macroeconomic print that we were digesting today is the U.S. inflation that came out at 4% year on year. So, of course, accelerating at a slower pace than we had seen the last couple of months, lowest level in 2 years. Are markets now 100% certain that the Fed will pause, Derek?
Yeah, I think, you know, the market's been waiting for this. We're starting to see the higher interest rate environment curb the inflation impact that we're seeing at the moment. Excuse me. So I think, you know, today's print is certainly a positive and a well-received print, and you can see that with what's happening in global markets as we start to trade this evening. You know, all stocks are higher. And if you just look at it on an index level, particularly in that tech space, you know, we've seen some serious rebounds from the lows that we saw late last year in terms of where we are at the moment. And, you know, just looking at the percentage moves in some of these stocks, whether you look at Apple's or Microsoft's or any of the FANG stocks for that matter, it reminded me of an old quote that I learned some time back, which goes by, you know, bull markets climb walls of worry. And you're seeing a lot of things that are up over 20%, which does indicate that the trend is now turned and things are in a bit of a better position in terms of share price performance. And it does seem like the data prints that we're seeing at the moment is a very worrisome macroeconomic backdrop to the market, but nevertheless, the share prices are starting to climb and things are starting to look a little bit better from where we are at the moment.
Yeah. And Nick, would you say that this is mission accomplished for the Fed? And I mean, just before this print, there had been some concerns that maybe this rally might not last. Do you think that it's finally put an anchor to that rally?
I'm not 100% convinced, to be fair. I think there's two components. Not the very much more sort of variable side of inflation is headline inflation, and that's obviously at that 4% level. But core CPI, which I think is kind of key for the Fed when looking at it and really gives you a little bit more of a indication of the inflation that the consumer is actually feeling, is still sitting pretty high, you know, above the 5% kind of level, and is a lot stickier than perhaps a lot of people would have anticipated. Looking forward, the big question is whether that core CPI, I think that really is the number that we want to start seeing come down significantly. It is down off its highs, make no mistake about it, but still, I think it was like, 0.4% for the month. I mean, it's still pretty robust. And I think a lot of that is seen in the relative strength and health of the U.S. consumer. The big risk really is if that headline number, core CPI number doesn't really start coming down, then I think the Fed might have to continue raising rates to a certain extent. I do think we're very close to the top, but the question is, are we there yet? And is it mission accomplished? I don't think it's mission accomplished yet. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit more volatility in the markets, I think, over the next couple of months as we start really getting to grips, whether or not, you know, it is mission accomplished or whether or not there's a little bit further work that needs to be done.
All right. Well, on that, there's a question here. The subject says Fed versus S&P. There is a chart that was sent, but unfortunately I can't enlarge it and put it up on screen. The question is, would you be able to deduce if the Fed is leading the markets? I'm not sure if that's something that resonates with what you've seen. Derek?
I think, you know, one needs to be mindful of the fact that any data point that we see, as we saw today in terms of that inflation number is very backward looking. So markets are obviously very efficient and they tend to look forward. So there's a bit of a mismatch in terms of, you know, what markets tend to do in terms of pricing and how the Fed generally reacts to economic data that gets handed over to them at the end of the day. So we know inflation is high. We know that we could be in for some further rate increases. We're hoping we're going to see a bit of a pause for now. But I think that the market is starting to price in a very close, we are quite close to the top of the interest rate cycle. As I said, we could see some further interest rate hikes, but at the end of the day, I think that the market is pricing in, or was certainly pricing in, a very bad case scenario going into the end of last year, but starting to price in a bit of a better case scenario from where we sit today and how we kind of digest inflation looking forward. So I think that the market's going to lead the Fed into how they generally react, and the market's going to sort of give you the picture of how interest rates are going to kind of play out over the next 6 to 12 months.
All right. There's a question here on Glencore. Can the panel please explain the latest deal proposed by Glencore to Teck Resources? Of course, Glencore now coming in with that alternative offer that they'll take the steelmaking coal business of Teck, merge it with its own, and then list it separately. Nick, is this more palatable to Teck shareholders? And do you think that this would be the last of it, that Glencore would kind of back off in terms of getting the metals business?
Well, I think what is evident so far is that Glencore is not going to back away until they get a really hard no, under no conditions shall it happen, kind of scenario. So they're sort of trying to make it more palatable and more sort of pleasant for us, I think, Teck shareholders. The jury's out whether or not this crosses the line or not on that sort of basis. In terms of the actual technicalities behind the deal, I must be honest, I haven't actually looked at it in detail enough to know exactly and have a view in terms of the deal and the success, chances of success in this new guise.
Derek, do you think that Glencore needs that Teck coal business to successfully list separately list its own coal? Like, it, as if I'm just asking if Glencore lists its own coal business separately, if it wouldn't thrive as much without Teck's coal business.
So with a deal like this, one needs to obviously sort of stand back and look at it from a bird's eye perspective. There's obviously, in my mind, a lot of synergies involved in terms of what Glencore's already got in terms of their coal asset stable and how Teck could potentially fit into the equation. So there could be a lot of cost cutting and a lot of synergies that make Teck as a business a lot more profitable than where it sits today. And they've obviously arrived at a valuation that makes sense for them. They're obviously trying to bolster up their market share from a coal perspective. So in my mind, I think they've got a strategic plan. They've obviously got a price that they're prepared to pay, which may be very lofty in a market environment that we're seeing where the coal price is very depressed from where we were 12 months ago. But therein lies the opportunity. I don't think that the world is certainly not going to just switch over to alternative energy solutions in a very short space of time, and there's still a lot of reliance on coal from a global perspective. So they're obviously putting together what they deem to be a good quality coal asset that they could potentially separately list and obviously bring some synergies into the equation. So interesting space to watch at this point in time.
All right. More questions. I'm looking for good JSE stock options in companies that are well positioned in the renewable energy space, i.e., solar energy installers, lithium battery manufacturers, lithium mining interests, but can't seem to find any except ETNs and private equity. Can your team assist? Nick?
Yeah, I think it's a tough space to play in an SA type of environment. So I think, you can play those themes a lot easier looking at global stocks, locally listed. We don't really have, significant companies that have their own lithium mines, as an example, where that is the bulk of the assets in their portfolio, and that ultimately is going to drive their share price. You've got guys like Sibanye that are playing in that space, but it's still small. And is going to be small for some time on a relative kind of basis. So it's not going to be the main driver. In terms of installers or anything along those sort of lines, I think there's not that much. I think you can have a look, you know, at a company like Reunert as an example, that obviously does a lot of the electrical kind of cabling and so on and so forth, that will certainly be in demand in that sort of area as a bit of an opportunity. But certainly in terms of pure plays, I'm not aware of anything that is locally listed that is going to give you significant exposure into those sort of sectors.
Derek, are you of the same view? Do you think that there are JSE stocks that will benefit from the transition to renewable energy?
I think at this stage, from a JSE listed perspective, there are no pure plays. And I think Nick has actually summed it up quite correctly. I think if you are looking for it, we know there's a lot of investment taking place in alternative energy at the moment. So, you know, I think Reunert is probably well placed to actually take advantage of alternative energy solutions. And then obviously just looking at, let's call it new age commodities, and that talks to the lithium and the sort of the batteries and the commodities required to actually build these batteries. Sibanye are well positioned at the moment, but no pure plays. I think if you are going to dabble in this space and look for pure alternative energy solutions, you've certainly got to look offshore. There's a whole wide array of ETFs as well as company specific stocks that are obviously very strong in this space. But from a JSE perspective, you're going to get a hybrid of other assets along with that lithium play, for example, as Nick mentioned on the Sibanye, and as I mentioned earlier on the Reunert. So yeah, no pure plays as such, from what I can see.
All right. Well, talking about ETFs as well, there's a question here. ETF of the JSE FINI or individual bank stocks for investments? Nick?
So I always prefer the individual stocks themselves, although I think they're all facing very similar sort of market conditions at the moment.
Yeah.
They're underloved, underappreciated, and I think ultimately stand to do quite well in a SA type of recovery. And therefore, you could almost play any of them, at least the, let's say, big five on the banking shares with ease. I think they will track similarly in terms of a performance sort of expectation going forward.
On your side, Derek, would you rather go for an index or individual stocks? Maybe would you even be diversified and go global?
Yeah, I think there's definitely an argument to have some global financial stocks. We must remember we've been through almost a mini global financial crisis where we've seen the fallout of Silicon Valley Bank, you know, a few, Citigroup, obviously. I think that deal was concluded today with UBS. So a lot of those offshore banking stocks, just with the general sentiment, have actually come off quite a lot. And in my mind, that actually offers an opportunity in terms of looking at things like a JP Morgan or a Citigroup, for example, or even a Goldman Sachs. When we bring it back home and we look at ETFs or shares, I agree with Nick. I think you've got to be highly convicted and you've got to look at building a portfolio of shares. You've seen what First Rand's done over the last 7 trading days, kind of trading sub 60 and then jumping right up to 68 grand today plus. So I think there's if you're going to play the SA Inc. basket, I think it's a safe way to play SA Inc. at the moment. We've seen that play out where you've got some of those banking stocks delivering in excess of 10% returns in a very short space of time. They're good quality businesses. They're well capitalized. Sentiment has just been very negative towards SA Inc. at the moment. First Rand's done well. I think there's probably some opportunity in something like an ABSA at this point, maybe even a Nedbank. But yeah, I think that you can buy just the same quality assets, but on the offshore market, you can also get good quality assets at very similar valuations, just given what's played out through the course of the last 3 to 4 months.
Well, sticking to the financial services industry, there's a question here, panel's view on 91. Nick?
Yeah, so I think 91's a well-run business. I think they're sort of pretty significant kind of growth ambitions on a sort of a global basis, but both into the US as well as to China. You know, they stated that upon their sort of listing and sort of separation away from Investec. I must say, I wanted to see evidence of how they managed to roll that out and how successful they were at sort of running money and getting mandates in those jurisdictions. But largely, I've been pretty impressed with their sort of execution so far. It is a play on equity markets in general. So if you expect equity markets to go up and the sentiment changes to be really a bit of a bull market, then all asset managers ultimately, I think, will do well. Relative to its valuation at the moment, I think there's value in something like 91. I think it's a good stock at a pretty good price at the moment.
Well, earlier on, Derek, we were talking about how there seems to be a turnaround there in the equity market. So would you be going for the banks or for the asset managers?
I think it all comes down to valuation at the end of the day. So when you look at asset managers, you've almost got to see them as proxies to the market. So obviously, you in our world, from a JSE perspective, you look at the 91s, the Coronations, even if it's a Quilter, which has obviously got a very, very much an offshore-based asset base. These are all stocks that have come down dramatically. Coronation had its own issues from a SARS perspective. But there's value in them. We know Coronation, for example, has forgone their recent dividend just to kind of provision for any potential tax headwinds that they may have faced with SARS. But they sit on decent yields. They sit on 8-9% yields with the ability to obviously catch a bid as markets start to recover. 91, I agree with Nick, got value in it. There's probably an opportunity in it. But certainly the JSE does seem to bumble around, you know, bar a few stocks that have really taken our index higher. I would anticipate some further bumbling around in the broader market, whether it's SA banks, whether it's SA retail. You know, as I said, there's a few stocks that have really taken the market to the levels that we've seen with the Naspers and the Prosus and the Richmonts, etc. So I'd be a bit careful. I'm a little bit more of a stock picker as opposed to looking for a proxy with some of the asset managers. But there's value in them, and they're going to pay you to hold them with that yield underpin.
Ah, all right. There's a viewer that sent a question on Telkom and Transaction Capital. So we are heading to the end of the show. So I'll give each of you one company. So the first one, Nick, I'm handing that to you. Can someone explain how Telkom is trading at 30 Rand when the company is being made an offer of 46 Rand a share and 60 Rand previously by MTN?
Right. So I think, simply put, if you have a look at Telkom, its ability to generate earnings, its balance sheet where it sits and the amount of free cash flow that it generates, it's in a very tough position at the moment. So with the macro uncertainties that we have in SA, combined with their sort of legacy business and their idea of transitioning, and then I think a lot more of the competitive edge that has come into the sort of telco space with new spectrum that came through about a year ago. Ultimately, I think Telkom is not looking great from an earnings perspective, and so that depresses the share price because you want to see that earnings coming through. Having said that, there's other ways of evaluating a company, and that is actually having a look at some of the parts, having a look at their net asset value. And from a net asset value, on a longer-term basis, ignoring short-term earnings pitfalls, there's a significant value in Telkom. So that's been their sort of idea on how to either sell off areas of their business and try and generate value. So irrespective of earnings, just sell the entire part of the business, or alternatively sell all of the business. But successfully, they have not been able to successfully implement any of that. And so if you think they're going to successfully be able to break it apart or sell it, there's value. If you think it's not going to happen in the shorter period and that you'd rather look at earnings, I still think there's probably downside to that share price. And the share price is therefore caught in the middle of no man's land. Mm. Net asset value, it's upside. Earnings, it's downside. What's going to happen? Who knows?
Mm. All right. Well, what's going to happen with the Transaction Capital? There's a question here. Is a Transaction Capital a buy at these levels? Derek?
So obviously it's been caught up in the spotlight in terms of very negative sentiment. I think, you know, we've paid a lot of attention to the SA Taxi side of the business, which is obviously a lot softer in terms of performance, and we can anticipate some softer performance as we look forward the next 12 to 18 months. The macroeconomic environment has certainly not helped the performance from an earnings perspective for this company. But they do, however, sit on some good quality assets, and I allude to the WeBuy Cars assets or asset in particular. And I think that at 6 rand 60, I think it closed there or thereabouts, it is offering value. You've got to be patient with it. It's going to be driven by earnings. I think that there is a lot of bad news in the share price, and it has reset substantially, obviously, to the levels that we're at the moment. Looking forward, it's one of those stocks that at these levels you want to buy, put it in the bottom drawer, and just let the macroeconomic work in your macroeconomic environment work in your favor, and you'll see a company like this start to produce some good double-digit earnings. It's all about what the right PE for this stock is. I think at these levels, we're looking at very low single-digit PEs looking forward. So to me, it looks like an opportunity.
All right. Well, other opportunities that you are seeing, let's get to your stock picks, gentlemen. Nick, what will it be?
Well, I'm going with Ping An, which is an offshore Chinese-orientated financial company. So very much in the sort of health insurance, long-term insurance, short-term insurance kind of space. I think looking at stocks and opportunities, I've been banging the drum on SA Inc., but we've had quite a strong recovery, I think, over the last couple of weeks there. And I think there'll continue to be some volatility in an SA kind of market. US markets and I think global markets themselves still look as though there's value, but a lot less value in the sense that they have re-rated strongly off, October kind of lows. One of the areas of the market, however, that hasn't re-rated at all is China. And so I think overall within China, we've seen the COVID restrictions be lifted. It seems a bit of a softer kind of recovery on the back of that. But I do think on a longer term kind of basis, the recovery will come through. The government will put the right policies in place to actually get the economy sort of kick-started. And a company that is as sort of significant as Ping An is in the Chinese space shouldn't be trading at a 4P of around 6. I think there's a lot of value that's there. And so ultimately, that's my stock pick for this evening.
All right. On your side, Derek?
I'm going to follow suit, and I'm looking at a company called SEA, SEA. This is a Singapore-based business. It's got a NASDAQ ADR that's listed there. And really what this is very much a tech-based business, probably second-tier tech, where there's, I deem to be some upside, and I think emerging markets hopefully should start to catch a bid over the next 6 to 12 months. The makeup of this business is very much a financial payments business. It's also got a shopping type component to it, very similar to a Takealot, but certainly got a lot of market share. And then a third component, which is online games development and publishing. So I quite like this business. I think it's operating in the right space. I think it's a big growth story. It did peak around $300 on the NASDAQ listing. It's down to about 64 at the moment. It's picked up off its lows. But I certainly think as we start to see the big tech space start to gain a bit of momentum in the Microsofts and the Apples, there's going to be some reallocation of cash. And I think this is certainly a stock that looks very interesting to me at current levels. Probably got some nice growth potential looking forward.
All right. Well, thank you so much, gents, for your analysis today. There were quite a lot of questions today. So Julieta obviously is back tomorrow with Stockwatch. So we do have retail savings bonds, Sasol and the Phuthumanati shares of questions that will be answered tomorrow. That's all from Stockwatch this evening. Thanks to our guests, Derek Jansen van Rensburg from Anchor and Nick Krehl from FNB Wealth and Investments. Up next, the close with Bloomberg. Stay watching.
Thank you.